sanctified in me.
Oh, you lead me, Lord.
You lead me.
You guide me.
You guide me.
You are dwelling.
You're dwelling.
Comfort to me,
you're a comfort to me.
Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me. Holy Spirit.
Comfort to me,
you're a comfort to me.
Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me.
Comfort to me,
you're a comfort to me.
Holy Spirit, you are a comfort to me. Holy Spirit, you're a comfort to me.
Thank you, Lord, for being my comforter. Thank you,
Holy Spirit.
You are a comfort to me.
You're a comfort to me.
Oh, Lord, you lead me, you guide me.
You guide me.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord.
Chapter and the 10th verse on to the 12th. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I am also reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angel, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy words. Let us bow our heads. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you for our gathering today. Thank you for salvation. how you sought us and brought us and redeemed us in itself is a mystery. While we were yet sinners, you died on Calvary to save us from sin. We will never understand why you have chosen us out of this world and picked from the billions that is now upon the face of the earth to redeem our souls. But Lord, we say thank you this morning. We appreciate you. You are a comfort to our soul. Bless the word today and bless your people. Bless those at GCC, those in the Caribbean, Guyana, St. Vincent, Grenada, St. Lucia. Bless our brethren there. Bless Brother Kenny this morning and the church. Bless those in India and those who are streaming in Africa, even Indonesia. Bless your people today. Lord, as they tune in to the words of life, as we are tuned in to the Spirit, bless your people. Help us to be a blessing to all, and help your servant to speak the words aright this morning. As we come out of our lives into your hands with the message, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray with thanksgiving, and the congregation say,
Amen.
Amen. May be seated. Amen. Mean so let it be. And my subject this morning, and I hope that it is not too hot in the building. We may be able to take down this board as long as I make reference to it. So I want to speak a little bit on two spiritual worlds. And I have reasons to speak on this morning, even because some have lost the consciousness of hell. The misery of hell, the torments of hell, and the eventual end in the lake of fire. I feel this morning that it will edify each one of us, and my heart is set upon other people that are streaming in today. More than the 99. Because their hearts are hungry, and they are thirsty, and they yearn to hear the words of life. So I greet them in the name of Jesus Christ, all those who are streaming in, those that will look at this video, hear the tapes. May this be a blessing to you, to help each and every one of us to endeavor not to enter into the terrible place called hell, the regions of the lost. There is no words to describe how bad hell is, and there is no words that we can describe how beautiful a place heaven is. But yet over the years, people, as much as they have heard the message of the hour through the prophet and all that he said and all that he described of those two places, I believe around the world the people have lost the consciousness of hell. And what a terrible place that is. And some may rightly ask, Brother Bruce, how can you make such a statement? Beloved, if a person really is conscious of hell, they would not take chances
on their soul. Think that over. And compare that just to a little literal fire. If a man is so concerned not to be burnt by that literal fire, he will give up everything. He will kill, he will fight, he will do every single thing not to enter into that place. I trust that this message can wake up the consciousness of people around the world and around the message. And even us here today, as I bring back these messages that was preached sometime in 1978, with much more information, and I think of making it a little simple this morning. There are three worlds. From a broad point of view, there are three worlds. And the first world is the natural world that has to do with the universe, earth, and all that the Lord created. That's the natural world. But beside this natural world, there are two spiritual worlds. So there are three worlds. It happened that the mass of humanity only understands this world. And that is so sad. They don't want to hear about the other worlds that exist. But there are three worlds. And us mortals, upon the natural earth and this world, is caught in between these two spiritual worlds. All humanity, the whole world, is caught between these two spiritual worlds. It was so even from Genesis. Until the Lord completely annihilates the kingdom of Satan. If only man knows where he is living, he will change his mind. I trust that this message could change somebody's mind from yielding to that world of Satan. So on a broad scale, we have three worlds. One is natural, and the other two are spiritual. One of this world belongs to Satan in the spiritual. And the next world, which is spiritual, belong to the Lord, his angels, and his children. So the prophet of God, in several places, I don't think he had a diagram, but he spoke about these two worlds, and give us a mental picture. And by God's grace, I was able to catch the vision of what he was trying to bring out in that mental picture. And the Lord gave me that many, many years ago. But I think this is the first time that I have a little diagram to help the children. And I think I will, go over this just a little bit. Somebody may be listening to the tape and don't have the diagram before them. And I will go over just a little. Now this big ring here in the center represents the universe that we live in, inclusive of the earth, sun, the moon, the stars. And man has not yet figured out the natural world, let alone the spiritual. Yes. He has not figured out the depth of the sea and all what God put down in the ocean. He only knows a little bit of what is around him upon the earth. And for a long time he had been trying to venture into the heaven. Yes, and he has not yet even ascended properly on the lowest star. So even in this natural world, there are a lot of mysteries that are to be revealed. And man has not figured out the natural world yet, let alone the heavenly bodies and the stars by the millions. If we will start talking about some of those things, we will be here a long time. Yes, but one time the Lord asked Abraham, he said, can you number the stars? Can you number the sand of the sea? Yes, and when Job got beside himself, the Lord challenged him on the heavenly bodies. Yes, he said, do you understand, Pleiades? Those are the seven sisters. Do you understand this star out here? Do you understand that? And Job folded his hands. He said, what shall I answer the Almighty? He questioned him about the animals. Job could not answer. Here you know about Leviathan. He said, you know about the wild, the wild bear? And over in the book of Job, about the 40th chapter. Now, this is our natural world here, and it is written here, those who are making an imaginary picture and wants to do this, is a big circle here in the middle, and there is Genesis 1 and 1, and a very important thing upon this earth here, is that thousands of miles under the earth are burning craters. And every time a part of the earth gets weak, it blows up from there and causes a volcano. And when that volcano erupts, it can destroy many cities, and it sank many islands and countries and continents in time past. And the prophet of God used a statement. He said, you ask where is hell and the lake of fire. He said, you are living right upon it. So right beneath us is the lake of fire. And the righteous shall be rewarded upon the earth, the Bible says, and much more the wicked. And this is that place called the lake of fire underneath here. Right here, if you want to prove that, just check over in the book of Isaiah about the 66th chapter, I think it is, in the last verse. The Bible says, and the saints shall go, and as they pass by, they shall see how men, yes, sir, are burning in that lake of fire, and the worms diet not. It is going to be right here upon earth. Right underneath the hair is that lake of fire. And now this is your natural earth here that we have. Natural, I would say, the universe. Now this we can see with our natural eyes. God gave us five senses to contact this natural earth. Now, but beside that, they are two spiritual worlds. And this on my right here, we try to illustrate what are the different regions of the spiritual world of the Almighty. So first we put here Holy Spirit, angels, and theophanies on this side, which is trying to influence mortal man to eternal life. And this goes up and it climbs a little higher, and then we have the souls under the altar, which is Revelation 6 and 2 Corinthians 5. So it climbs higher into a higher realm. And then it climbs a little higher onto God's throne, the seventh heaven. Now that in itself, we always go through that before the seals, and that is Revelation chapter 4. Now this here is unseen, which is the spiritual world of the Lord. This is unseen and cannot be contacted with our five senses, but it exists, and we are proof that it does exist. If the people of this world don't believe that, we believe that. We are the evidence that that world exists. Yes, sir. So now the only way to contact this world of the Lord here is for the Lord to anoint your eyes. And he did anoint the eyes of men and women throughout the scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, to even behold his throne, to behold angels, to behold theophanies, to behold God himself veiled in human flesh. So it exists, and we believe it. Now, you and I are influenced from that region. Right this morning as we sit here, and as I preach the word of God to you, we are caught between those two spiritual worlds. Right here as we preach upon earth and try to speak of the kingdom of God, we are caught between two spiritual worlds. There was war in heaven. Two sides fighting. Huh? One was of the Lord and the other was of Satan. So we see right there was two kingdoms. We see that there are two worlds at war. Now that war that started in heaven has not ended. We are here this morning resting, but we are not resting against flesh and blood. As Ephesians 6 say, we are resting against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. That is what we are up against. So now this on this side, we see that there are three regions. Now on the left hand side, going downward to the lake of fire, the prophet explained that there are also three realms, three regions. Now these three regions, number one, it says celestials. That's a spirit body. And then we have the souls of unjust men that are in that place. First Peter 3, 18 and 20. Jesus went down there and seen them. Then on the road coming down to hell, we have demons, evil spirits. That is Ephesians 6 and 12 that we talk about principalities and powers. And then 1 Kings 22 give you a good picture of how one of them jump out of that realm to talk to God. And he admit that he's a liar. And he was going to deceive. And then coming down a little lower here, in the third realm, is a place called hell. The region of the lost. That is where Satan has his throne. You will find that in Revelation 20:13, that's his headquarters. Now, what all these three dimensions has to do with hell, if you notice the connection that we try to bring here, all is connected. That represents the connection of hell and demons and evil spirits upon the earth, right up to the souls that are now in prison. So now we are caught. This is where we live here. We are those mortals here. And both these two spiritual worlds are trying to influence the mortals upon the earth to take them into their kingdom. That is why this is connected here. You see, the kingdom of Satan is trying to influence mortals upon the earth to take them into the place called hell for misery, pain, anguish, suffering, and damnation. And on this side, the Holy Spirit and the angels of God and even our theophanies are trying to influence mortals to escape this world out here and to inherit the world to come. Now, if you do not understand what I'm going to say here, just leave it alone and pick up the natural teachings of these three worlds. You know, one natural world and two spiritual worlds. Now, in these regions here, and in these regions of the two spiritual worlds, there are seven dimensions. Seven dimensions. All right. Now, the natural world is controlled and contacted by the first three dimensions. Light, matter, and space, or air might be more correctly said. That's the first world. That has to do with our five senses. Light, matter, and space. Everybody get that?
Yes.
Now, but this spiritual world of Satan out here has to do with the fifth dimension. And even takes in the fourth dimension. Now, this spiritual world of the Lord, it has to do with the sixth and the seventh dimension. All right, if you don't understand that, forget dimension. We are dealing with two spiritual worlds. Now, but just for the unbeliever that have lost consciousness of if hell is a real place or not, you will have to deny science before you deny the existence of hell or heaven. All right. Now your first dimension is light. Now God gave me and you two eyes to contact light. Although light travels at a speed of 186,000 miles per second, God has designed the eyes in such a way to catch the light. It's the doing of the Lord. Alright? He gave us a sense to contact matter. Everything that could be touched. From the earth, stone, water, everything. Upon the earth, even though you could go and touch the moon. He gave you a sense to contact matter. Alright. Then he gave you a sense to contact air. Now, has anybody ever seen the wind? But there was somebody who gathered the wind in his fist. And he is our God. Need that. He's so great that he took up all the breeze from the whole world. And he put out his hand and locked it there. And if he holds it too long, everybody dies. Bible says he gathered the wind in his fist. So now that's the third dimension. Now, but there exists a fourth dimension. As we sit here today, the prophet of God explained, and it is proven, like in the tape called Paradox, present stage of my ministry, and several other places, Christ has revealed in his own word, the prophet of God explained the seventh dimension. Now in the fourth dimension is where you find radio voices, pitiers, and I put another word for it there, electronics. Now right here, passing among us are radio voices. Now don't tell me I lie down, because I will put on the radio and catch the voice and prove my case scientifically. Right now there are pictures that are running here, television pictures. Alright. And don't tell me that I'm lying, because I will put on the television. Alright. Right now as I lift my hand, if I am on streaming, am I? They are seeing me in India. It don't take an hour to do it. It don't take an hour to do it. If I put my hand down, they see that. Brother Watson, you seen me there. Now, friends, that was not an invention. The fourth dimension is not an invention. The invention is the radio. The invention is the television. The invention is the electronics. And all that is that they have a crystal that is made up in these units. That when I lift my hand like that, they have the camera pointed to me, and it catch the picture. It bounce it way off to India, to the east. It take it right down to Indonesia. Now that's a channel that belongs to God. He makes that channel to record every word that you speak, and to make you give an account for it someday. He created that channel to capture your pity and every action.
And he will pull that record out on the day of judgment. When you deny your actions, and he said, do you know that little baby that is crying there? No, I never seen him before. He said, look at very closely. You notice that little boy? I kind of know him. He said, you know that fellow that getting married there? Yeah, that's me. There is no hiding place for you. You notice that fellow there? He died. And that's his funeral. My brother, it's undeniable. The Lord created that dimension, and he alone knows about it more than anybody else. And they are finding out a lot of fantastic things about that. By experimenting, science experimenting, one science said that he was able to bounce into hell and hear the screams and the cries of men. It is possible that one day the scientific research will bounce straight into hell and bring up the evidence. So now that fourth dimension, there are many other things in it. So now, as I lift my hand here, as I speak, friends, before they had television, before Adam was ever made, they existed that fourth dimension. They only captured it recently by what science, you know, discovered there in the television and so on. But every one of our actions and voices and everything like that are recorded. Yes, it's recorded. Every idle word that a man speaks, he shall someday give an account for it. Every lie that you tell, yes, you are going to give an account for it and come back. Yes, I have news for you though. The one who made that is the only one to go into the records. Yes, and destroy the record. Yes, if you will repent and accept the Lord Jesus Christ and confess your sin and promise not to do them again, he goes into there and pull it out and cast it in the sea of forgetfulness. And he says, your sins and your iniquities, I will remember them no more. I've cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. There is a sea of forgetfulness. Yes. So the Lord pull the record, break the record. When Satan the accuser come upon the day of judgment, he say, Brother Rogers, you done such and such. He lived 91 years of age, and he did this and he did that. The Lord challenged Satan, he said, prove your case. When he called for the record, yeah, he cannot find the record. Yes, Brother Rogers is justified before the Lord. Yes, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. So he breaks the record. Yes, and we stand there innocently before the Lord. Yes, sir. So now that fourth dimension, now people will believe science. Yes, there is a fourth dimension. People will believe science and say, yes, 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 that is true. There is a channel that they can break into. Now, the same way that there is a fourth dimension where our voices and our pictures are recorded, it's the same way that there is a fifth dimension. That fifth dimension is the kingdom of Satan. Yes, that fifth dimension has to do with the kingdom of Satan. And certainly that there is a fifth dimension, that if science go on for some time, they may be able to break into that. There is a sixth and seventh dimension. Yeah, but we are not waiting for them to break into that. You know, God has given us a way to break into that. Yes, and that is by his Holy Spirit. And the Bible
has the evidence from Genesis to Revelation where men did break into the kingdom of God. They saw God. They saw his angels. They saw the redeemed that went on. Yes, they saw God sitting on his throne. Read the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. Now we believe that. And we are trying to enter into that place. Yes. So I hope that I, made myself clear there with the three worlds. So now the seven dimensions, they are different subject-like. But I bring that as proof to show you that there does exist two spiritual worlds. If you believe the seven dimension of light, matter, and space, okay, that have to do with science. Yes, I said they don't believe nothing that they cannot prove. Yeah, they cannot see. Yeah, and all these things. But then they went and proved the fourth dimension. And they proved that a man bowl a ball here, and they see him way off in China. And next fella pick it up, and they see him way off in China. Yeah. And they know that those pictures and the voices don't die. Yeah. Then if it don't die, God made that for a certain reason. And I am saying, and we are saying, and the prophet said, that is God, my brother, place that he recorded all the works of mankind. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12, that we will give an account for the works that was done in this body. And if we have to give an account for the works done in this body, God must have a way prepared to bring up all these records of humanity. Yes, we are living in a terrible place. We are living in a terrible place, and we are caught between two spiritual worlds. Now, brethren, every one of us that is seated here today influenced from one of these worlds. If you are influenced from the fifth dimension, the world of Satan, the way the tree leans, that is the way that it will fall. If you are influenced by the Holy Spirit and God's kingdom, then that's the way you will lean, that's the way you will fall. Yes. So, you have a choice. And God gave you a choice to receive the influence that you have chosen. That is why God gave man a free will here. So man is not trapped. He is not trapped, brothers and sisters. He is not helpless. No, God gave him a free will to choose this spiritual world on the right hand that brings him eternal life, or gave him a choice to choose this spiritual world that brings him death. I believe that is clear enough. And he gave him a free will to choose what he wants. Now tell me that you will have an excuse at the white throne judgment. I guess we could take down this board. Yes, so we'll get some more breeze flowing here. Yes. So now I hope you get the picture in your mind that I could preach to you without using the board now. Yes. Now, brethren, We are talking about two spiritual worlds. Now these two spiritual worlds, one is good and one is evil. Now if we live in a natural world and we are to draw the influence from either one of these worlds. Now don't forget that those two great powers, God and Satan, they are fighting over your soul to bring it into their kingdom. The only way that God will win is if you yield to the kingdom of God. And the only way that Satan will win is if you yield to the kingdom of Satan. Satan cannot take you and destroy you at his will. No, he destroys you at your will. Now what I am saying here was depicted in Genesis. It was depicted in Genesis in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. With the first two human beings that God put upon the face of the earth, they lived in a natural world. But then, friends, the Lord was depicting in Genesis those two kingdoms, those two worlds. And on the right hand was the tree of life, and on the left hand, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Yes, those two trees standing side by side. Now don't think of two ordinary trees now. Now you are talking about two spiritual worlds. Yes, one controlled the spiritual world of the Lord, and the next controlled the spiritual world of the devil. Yes. So there we are. We are talking now about Satan's dimensions. And those who don't believe that Satan has a world of misery, pains and anguish and sorrow, you will have to deny the fourth dimension. And if you deny the fourth dimension, you've got to deny television. You've got to deny radio and all electronics. And that will make you one of the biggest dunce in the world. And if you are a Christian and you deny the fifth dimension, that makes you a bigger dunce in the church of God. I believe in a heaven or a hell. And God, no doubt, allowed them to break into the fourth dimension that man will be without excuse. You choose to believe the fourth dimension and what science discovers, and then doubt the fifth dimension that has to do with Satan's kingdom and hell. Oh yes, let us refine this just a little. Time is gone. All right. So now here we have the fifth dimension, and I'm going to speak about that for a little while. And now when we say hell, we are talking about the spiritual kingdom of Satan. It has to do with the realm of the souls of unjust men. Secondly, it has to do with the realm of demons, spirits of the devil. And then we talk about another realm, which is hell itself, which is the throne and the kingdom of Satan. From there he rules and he gives instructions to his demons. And then we go a little lower than that, connected to the kingdom of Satan, which is the end result, is the lake of fire. Now that is where it is like an incubator, where the Lord will destroy every unjust soul one of these days. He will destroy Satan himself, and he will destroy all false spirits. In order to destroy these spirits of men and angels in the lake of fire, only God could put them to death. And it will take millions of years for that incubator to burn, to destroy all these wicked spirits that now exist in their different worlds. I believe it. It is real. Now let us look at the contents of one of these realms in the kingdom of Satan. Now what do we see? We call it the realm of the dead, the souls of unjust men. Now stretch your imagination a little bit of how great, how big that this realm really is. It's surely bigger than what we draw on the board. Brethren, it is a receptacle, spiritual receptacle, a dimension that God made. The Bible said, and hell was created for the devil and his angels, not for man. And when the angels fell, Jude, about the sixth verse, it says that they were reserved in chains under darkness until that great day. So now hell was actually prepared for the devil and his angel. Now, but I'll tell you something about this mean, wicked spirit. This mean, wicked spirit who fell in Eden, according to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. Yes, God kicked him down and he fell upon the earth. Friends, he is beyond redemption. There is no pardon for the angels. They blaspheme their way beyond redemption. Jesus never died for them. They begged for mercy in the time that Jesus came and found no mercy. Mercy was only given to you and I. Only given to mankind. And these devils, friends, they were cast down into chains, reserved under darkness, in torments and pains. Yes, disappointment of what is going to be the end in the lake of fire. And this wicked creature decides not to perish alone. God was not willing that any man should perish, but all should have everlasting life, the Bible says. But these wicked spirits, knowing their condemnation, decide to wage war against God himself. When they were cast down from heaven, friends, they waged war in the Garden of Eden. And
the war is concerning mine and your soul. Since they are going to that lake of fire, and since they are reserved in chains, they decide not to go down there alone. Yes. But in order to fight God, make this the heart of God so pure, is to capture as many souls that God cherished so much, that God made in His image, to capture these souls and take them into the place that was created for the devil and his imp. To battle against God as a spite to God, as being wicked to God. And that is what happened in the Garden of Eden. At war, my brother, drafting mankind in the Garden of Eden, but that war started long before. And there was war in heaven. But the war out here, the devil is so spiteful to God that he drafted in man into the great war that started in heaven. And he wants to take every single soul that he could take into that place called hell. And then eventually hell will be emptied out into the lake of fire. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And then man is going to burn there for millions of years, and the spirits, the demon spirits and Satan himself, yes, is cast into the lake of fire for burning. It's a horrible thing. Now, but listen to this. Hell is only a receptacle, a waiting place, a prison house of spirits, prison house of souls. All right, we find that in 1 Peter 3:18-20. Jesus visited that place. It's real. So, let us look at the contents of this place. The contents of this realm. Yes. Which we say are the souls of the unjust. Connected to hell itself. Destined for the lake of fire. That is why those images are drawn there downward. They're taking you down into a bottomless pit. The Lord, knowing that, He made up the earth in such a way with burning craters. So many miles downward, if you dig, you will find burning craters. That's the place of the wicked. That's the place where they will be burnt. Yes, that's the place of annihilation. Now, but look at the split here. Now, people's minds are so small that all that they are thinking sometimes is about a smoldering. It ends over. That little dimension alone stretches out to hold all the unjust soul from the time of the creation of man unto the present day that we are living in. Can you stretch your imagination? It is average that 150,000 people die every day. Tell me how much it will be in a week. Huh? How much is it going to be in a week? Average 1 million? And in 1 year, how much is it going to be? At least 50 million. Now, out of all those people that die, how many people are saved? Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Brethren, we sit here and we rejoice in the Lord. And we give the Lord glory for our salvation.
Yes, sir.
People talk about war, killing here and there and there. But listen, natural death alone, friends, is about 50-something million people a year. How many people went to hell just in our generation? Let's say from the time that you had been born, you might be 50 years, 40 years, only 91 years. Yes. Multiply 91 by 50. Friends, I don't know. That is in our lifetime alone. 100 years. What that will give you? About 500 million. That is in our lifetime alone. Now let alone the First World War. Let alone the Second World War in that generation. We're talking about just natural death around the world. Leave all the plagues that went through Europe. They killed half of Europe with a plague called the Black Death, bubonic plague. Now think about the souls that are in that place. I'm talking about our generation. Just in our generation. Now, brethren, stretch your imagination just a little bit and take it up from Genesis. Starting with Cain. He is down there. With his serpent seed generation, and bring it right up to the days of Noah. All right? And think, my friends, that in the days of Noah, that 8 people were saved in the whole world. I'm talking about 8. 5 and 3, 8. Out of the whole world. And all the rest went down, my brother, into that place that that has these unjust souls. Only those 8 people were found just in that generation. Brethren, the portion of man is very, very, very sad. More the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife. Now, out of all these people, just imagine, that here now from Cain come right up to the time of Noah. Think of a world of people in the days of Noah. And don't tell me that it had just a few people living, in your narrow mind. The Bible says, and men began to multiply. Yes, upon the face of the earth, there was a population explosion. And if you want to know what existed there, the Bible says it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. There was a population explosion like we have today. Brethren, I tell you, I don't have the brain for it to count all of these people. And those people inside of there, and then you come straight down out here and you pick up the Old Testament. Right to the Old Testament. And then you come right up to the days of Jesus. And now, the nations become more wicked. In the last 2,000 years since the blood of Jesus. And think that only martyrs alone, they killed 68 million martyrs. 68 million martyrs. And let us say that that was the righteous. Friends, what about the wicked? More are the children of the desolate. Now think of how many billions of people throughout now the New Testament time
And right now we come to a place where we cross over the 6 billion, going up to the 7 billion people. And I am asking the question, how many people are saved in this generation? And all of them are destined for that place. Only a handful will be saved out of this generation. I don't know. But one short thing I have to say, like the prophet, multitude, multitudes in the valley of decision. Multitude, multitudes in the valley of decision. So now that receptacle there with the souls of unjust men ends up, my brother, in the billions and the trillions. How did they end up there is a good question. They rejected the counsel of God. And they failed to retain God in their knowledge. And rather go out there and live in sin. Yes, and worship, my brother, four-footed beasts, stones and irons, and everything. Romans 1. Now, as long as they enter into that realms or the realm of the souls of unjust men, there is no coming out. There is no reversing of that. There is no reversing. Right, don't get tired with me. You say, if I could only be sure that that place exists. You spoke about the people in the days of Noah, Brother Bruce. How do we know that? Hear what the Bible said in 1 Peter 3. For Christ also had once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Jesus Christ died on the cross to make you just. That he might bring us to God, into the different realm, but quickened by the Spirit. After he put to death, he was quickened by the Spirit. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. Do you believe the Bible? I believe the Bible. The Bible says 8 people were saved out of that world. Just 8 people were saved out of that world. And those people waited there until Jesus was crucified. This rejection of the gospel under Noah was the first 2,000 years. At the end of the first 2,000 years, there was a judgment on earth. And then those people was inside, was left there as unjust souls waiting there. Until Jesus came. That was 2,000 years. People say, I would burn out in, quick. If I go to hell, I just finish up. No, it has some there waiting since Genesis. And it's only the waiting place. It's only the remand yard. You are remanded into custody for the trial. And they had already spent 2,000 years in there. And Jesus, after his resurrection, quickened by the Spirit, he went down into hell to visit them. There is a spiritual world. And Jesus knew about the two worlds. That is why he could have spoken about the two worlds and tell you what is happening in the two worlds. So he belonged to this world out here, the kingdom of the Father, and when he died, he had a mission to go down to the next spiritual world. So he went down into that realm. And he was able to come out back. There was no return, friend. Yes. And you know why Jesus had to go there? For one reason. Because he died as a sinner. And all sinners go to hell. So Jesus died for our sins. Not only died for our sins, he went to hell for our sins. All sinners are supposed to go to hell. But Jesus was so powerful that when he reached down there, he snatched the keys of hell and of death and of the grave. Yes, sir. And when Satan see who that was, my brothers and sisters, he fled. And then he opened up paradise. And he released the souls that were held in custody. Yes, by Satan, in a place called paradise, next to hell, separated by a gulf. 16th chapter of the book of Luke. Yes, that the souls of the just men was just a little border away from the souls of the unjust. Yes, and nobody could have crossed over from one to the place, Father Abraham said. And there was a gulf there fixed, and these fellows were looking over into this realm, and these fellows were looking over into this realm out here. You're telling me they are in two spiritual worlds? They are two spiritual worlds. And one is evil and one is good. Lazarus was in the good place, and the king was in the bad place. And if you behave that way, you're going just that place to meet that king. And if you come to the place of God and the blood of Jesus Christ, you're going where Lazarus was. God gave you a free will to choose what you want. You want something in this world more than God and what he provided for you, go ahead and fetch it. That you will pay with your soul. Pay with your soul. This spiritual world is something. I was talking to Susie last night. Search up for this, search for that, search for. She said, Daddy, this world is something. I said, look at this diagram that I have here, child. Said, Daddy, the Lord give you that? I said, yes, sir. Friends, it is something. Look at that golf fix there. And Jesus knew that. Jesus had knowledge of both worlds. He could have told you what went on in history. He could have told you of the punishment that man was going to get. He said, now, your worms died not. Fire is not quenched. Yes. And after his death, burial, and resurrection, friends, he went down into that realm. God sent him down there for his sins. Yes. Keep falling just like a sinner. Keep falling, my brother. Ah, my brother, you are a sinner. Yes. He said, he reached down to hell. They reached down their brothers and sisters because that was the punishment for a sinner. To go to hell. And he get that keys away. From the devil. Yes. And now, over here, friends. Out here, this is Noah's section here with the rich man. Noah's people was in there too. Yeah. How many billion? They was there too. Yes. And Jesus, my brothers and sisters, came right there. And he was going to release these people out here. Lazarus' people, we're calling them. Abraham's people, we are calling them. Yes, but he had to witness to these unjust souls. And when they see that Messiah come up there, they say, Messiah, have mercy upon us. We have already spent 2,000 years in here, Messiah. They say, I have come to confirm your doom. Yes. He said, but we are sons of God, Messiah. Yes, but the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair. And they took them all, their wives, as they chose. Yes, you heard the preaching of Noah. You heard the truth. You remain there for another couple thousand years. And I guess, my brother, they are partying down there. You think they're partying down there?
No.
If you want to know, friends, what is going on there, read concerning the rich man talking to Abraham. What did Jesus see when he went down there? Fellows, Caesars, kings, monarchs, and pretty women by the billion. By the billion. By the billion. Young men, young women, old men, old women, all crying for deliverance. Multitude, multitudes in the body of the Savior. Far as his eyes can see to the end of that dimension, to the heights, there's a mass of humanity. To the depth, is a mass of humanity. Imagine the voices that cried to him and how it echoed. You can imagine the Caesars that came forward, the popes that came forward, the religious founders of the great religions, Nimrod, and the various other religions. And they came out, their brothers and sisters, to plead with the Messiah. There was no mercy. No mercy. Messiah had come there to confirm the doom. But I did not know, Lord. I'm a young man. I'm a young woman. I just got carried away with a boy. Yes, but there was a conscience in you. And your law become a, your conscience become a law. Yes, something told you not to do that. Your record is here. You just got to wait, and you'll be judged on the day of judgment. If you think you have something to defend yourself, you will bring it out on that day of judgment. But the records are there. You'll be given a free judgment, a fair judgment. Yes, sir. That is why there was a white throne judgment. Man in all his wickedness think that he could justify himself before God. Because he's a deceitful hypocrite to begin with. And he will challenge Almighty God. And God knows that. Yeah. People, my brother, will be innocent as ever. I mean, guilty as ever. And then put on an innocent face. Me? I never done that. Me? Oh, yes? The Lord will bring the record out. Yeah, he say electronic boys put it on. You have electronic angels, you know. Yes, bring it, and angels stand there. In a moment of time, brothers and sisters, you see all them pictures come before you. Yes. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. I'm telling you, it is the truth. I'm telling you, I have a revelation of this. I'm telling you, the Bible revealed these things. I'm telling you that William Branham confirmed these things. And William Branham himself was a man that went to hell and come back. And he went to heaven and come back. God grant him grace to visit the two worlds. One on the left and one on the right. Yes, at the age of 14, he visited that place. And he seen women down there with all the modern makeups. What kind of a place this is? I'm saying, friends, there's multitudes. I am saying that there are men, principalities and powers, kings and monarchs, even down to the pauper. But this, they are in torment. Now, do you know that preacher? In torment. Yeah, I thought that if they are waiting in custody for your judgment, they should not be tortured. God is not torturing them. It's who they followed is torturing them. It's what they choose in this life is torturing them. Friends, that place was prepared for the devil and his angels. And man chose to follow that way. And now they are numbered with these demons, these wicked spirits, and they are numbered in there. So that is not God's punishment. That's their own good friends that they supported. Yeah, that's the friends, my brother, that caused them to enjoy the pleasures of this life. That's the ones that they choose to follow. They end up in jail with them. Now, over here in hell is the torment of the soul from demons. That is not the judgment of God. No, those are demons tormenting the souls that they brought down to that realm of the dead. Now you could just picture the torment of Lazarus, the rich man, and get a good little idea. And the account that the prophet gave, he said, though those people was in such a torment that they were just groaning. Later on, he explained on the book called Paradox of God and other places. He said, this soul that is down there in a nightmare and a choking stage. They are waiting in custody for judgment. They cannot go to heaven. They cannot come back to the earth. So, they are in a choking stage, and in that choking stage, they remain there in a nightmare, and that is why they're going, on top of that, this soul was made as a dwelling place for spirits. So now these demons, my brother, just flood that soul. And as it flood that soul, they could inflict pain down inside of you to make you believe that your hand is breaking here. But altogether, it is the soul. But your body is not in hell yet. It's only your soul. The punishment of the body will take place in the lake of fire. But the soul out here is in the place, the realm of the dead called hell. Now demons come down inside of that soul, my brother, by the thousands, and put you in torment and aches and pains. Maybe we could explain that later. But meanwhile, get a pity of Legion. While he was yet living, 6,000 demons went in him, and they caused him to cut himself, scream, and live in a graveyard. So now these demons was in the man's soul. Yeah. And those demons coming in and out, just as wicked as they are, in, out, and go down there, my brothers and sisters, come down into that soul. And I spoke and I dealt with demon-possessed people. They said that when that demon enter me, it come like a man take a knife and stab me inside of my belly. And it keep coming down and coming down. I said, why you scream? They said, because the pain is so great. And that is like a knife stab me inside. And it's cutting me coming down. Cutting me coming down. And then another stab out here. And it's keep coming down. If they do that right here upon earth while the man is living, what about when they have full control of the man's soul? That is where the pains and the aches and everything is coming. Brother Bruce, I feel that that's a good poem. You could close the service now. Poem? Poem? Trying to frighten somebody? You better get frightened for now. It's a horrible thing. A horrible thing, friend. I said, I ain't afraid of hell. You will be. You will beg like a child. For one drop of water. You will beg for a child for 1 minute of peace. You will forget all your fornication. The memory of all your adultery. Yeah. The memory of all the pleasures that you had on this world, in this world. Yes. All the adultery you want to commit on your wife and find a prettier woman than your wife. Your backsliding, you will regret it all the days of your life. Friends, beside the torment, the consciousness to know that I am damned without a hope is one of the greatest torments. If somebody is suffering and they have a hope that just now the doctor will give me an injection and take away that pain, then that you still have a hope. But to know that you are suffering like that, and that is just the smoke. That is just the smoke. Hell is just the smoke. The torments for them thousands of years is just the smoke. The fire is coming behind. You'll be cast into a lake of fire. With the devil and his angel. You say, God is so cruel? God is so cruel? No, you are the cruel one. You are cruel to God that he died on Calvary and you reject the blood of Jesus Christ and you spit in God's face. Right? Go into all the world, preach the gospel, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. Souls that go to hell is damned. And look in your dictionary, they will tell you what is hell. You ever check up the word hell? Check up the word hell. It said a place of the damned. Yes. A place of misery. A place of anguish. Yes. A place of torment. That is what the ordinary dictionary says. The man who made the dictionary, why don't he repent? Huh? The people that study so much English and all kinds of different languages, why don't they see what is hell and repent? Because of wickedness in their heart. Wickedness. Hell is a place of torment. And you cannot imagine the torments of hell. With your souls going in there, friend, and that is not God's punishment. That is the punishment of demons when you finish serve them. People will be so humble in there. People will be so humble. I don't want to hear them. They will break my heart. Yes.
Beloved,
it's a place of darkness. It's a place of darkness. It's a place of agony. It's a place of pain. It's a place of torment. Yes. When you preach, you could really make up things. Read the New Testament. Jesus said, if your right hand, eye, whatever foot offend you, cut it off. He says, that is more profitable for you than to be cast into the in hell fire, where the worms die not, and the fire is not quenched. Yes, friends. He described hell. He was there. He knew about it. That's where I'm preaching from, right in the book here. There are people through my brothers and sisters who have experienced that right in our midst. Remember that man, brothers and sisters, who belonged here? And I will use his experience here just to show that that is not a long time story. It exists today. And that man backslid and he misbehaved himself. He had an arrogant attitude. Thank God for his family. A couple of them are still here. His name was Krishna. And he was dying. And the first thing that he said, brethren, he was in a dark place. That man was standing at the gates of hell, not standing, kneeling at the gates of hell. He said the torments that he suffered, them demons already started to torment the man's soul while his body was laying on the bed in the hospital. And for approximately 1 week, I am told, that man was crying and weeping and wailing and disturbing everybody in the hospital. And nobody knew what he was weeping and wailing for. Nobody knew. Only him. And a voice was telling him that God will never forgive him. Brother Bruce will never forgive him for his arrogant attitude. Condemnation of the devil. And that's the voice that people will hear if they go to that region of the lost. The devil will make sure and remind them of their doom. And that man was kneeling before a big rock, begging for mercy, feeling the torments of hell. And as he felt the torments of hell, brethren, the wife came to me, and she said, Brother Bruce, thus and thus and thus, he's dying. I said, go, make him repent. Lead him into a sinner's prayer. Can a woman lead somebody into a sinner's prayer? Anybody. Anybody. Don't wait and come to get me. Lead them in a sinner's prayer. And he testified. He said, I felt a hand touch me. He could not make out anybody for a week, but God's mercy is so great. He said, I felt a hand touch me, and when I looked back, I saw my wife. And she said, Brother Bruce said that he forgive you. And he repeated the sinner's prayer. And as he repeated the sinner's prayer, he climbed upon a big rock in the spirit. And on top of that rock had light. But underneath was dark. He said he was in darkness for those 7 days. Anytime you hear somebody dying and they're going through darkness, my brothers and sisters, they are heading for hell. It's only God that is able to bring them back. Repentance. And he climbed upon that rock. And he said he felt so joyful. And then he was back in his body. The doctors come, release him. And you know the rest of the story. Went home in a few days' time, he fell down on the step and died. Brother Branham spoke about a boy, Negro fella, who was dying. He was dying from venereal disease. And for days, this fellow was going through hell. And he was rowing a boat in the spirit. And he was groaning and dying. He had a praying mother, groaning and dying. And he, all that he was saying, Brother Branham finally came to him, you know the mysterious story. And he heard the boy. And this boy was rowing this boat and he was going, hear how he was going? You hear that groan? Between heaven and earth, nightmare, choking situation. All right. It's dark in here, mama. It's dark in here, mama. And he was going like that for days upon days upon days. It's dark in here, mama. And she prayed and Brother Branham prayed. She said, what I cannot take, Brother Branham, Parson, is that my baby is dying. And he is going to hell. Pray. Prophet of God, pray. And then that same fellow who was rowing all the time, he says, becoming light in here. Yes, it's becoming light in here. There is light in here. Brothers and sisters, five of that was healed. He became a Christian. For a man to experience that darkness, friends, it's a darkness greater than any darkness that you have ever seen. It's a darkness of a hell. The angels, fallen angels, are reserved in chains under darkness. Reserved under the judgment of the great day of God. Darkness. And any time you start entering into that dark place, friend, you are heading for hell. Quickly lead that sinner to repentance. I'll give you another little story of a sister sitting right here, Sister Jezebel. This world needs to hear this. At the age of 17, she told the story here. She was a Catholic. And brethren, the devil came for her soul, I believe prematurely. That don't mean to say that he would not try to take your soul apart from your body prematurely, you know. No, he's a wicked fella, he would take that chance. He's so hurried to get you into that region of the loss and cut your days short that he will try to do that. Yes, but it's the same experience. She said about midnight, there were three demons that came down in the form of women. And she was sleeping next to a mother. And one was finding the mother to sleep. Another one was holding the bed that they don't make noise. And the next one was trying to take her soul out of her body. And how this devil was going to take her soul out, she said, I felt a choking. And I was just choking and I was strangling to death. And I was screaming, but I couldn't scream and nobody could hear me. And she was in that agony. Yes. And that demon tell her, do you have any last thing to say before I take your soul? She said, no. And she remained in that agony for about from 12 o'clock until the morning. In that stage. She said she screamed until she was hoarse in the morning. Nobody heard her. We don't know what is going on in the spiritual realm. Yes. And then that woman was telling her, say your prayers. So she was a Catholic. She said, Hail Mary, Mother of God. He said, that is not prayers. The devil was telling her, that is not prayers. I said, say your prayers. He said, Hail Mary, Mother of God, pray for us now until the hour of our death. Amen. He said, I said to say your prayers. That is not prayers. Brethren, you said, all right, whatever you have to say for the last, you're going to die now. And that demon was able to pull her soul right out of her body. and she was separated body and soul, and she looked back and seen her corpse on the bed. 17 years of age, young lady, laying down there. Was your body lifeless? No movement? Mother still sleeping? Lifeless. Anytime your body, your soul separate from your body, it's dead. Yes. And then, friends, her body was laying down there, lifeless on the bed, motionless. And then something rose up in her and said, in the name of Jesus Christ. She said, and she fell with such a speed from that dimension. Such a speed, and it went back into the body, and she cried. The Lord led her to life. Around that same time, her brother died, and she took her brother's place, and she is here today. Yes, I was asking her if she feared to go to that place. She said, what? I said, you want an experience like that again? Me? Not an experience like that. That young lady is determined to serve God to escape that kind of experience. The only thing that I could see out of that is that the Lord allow her to experience that so she may appreciate salvation when she is given that chance. Just the same as he dipped Brother Branham's head in hell. Huh? And then when he begged for mercy, then the Lord brought him up and gave him a life of service in the gospel. You understand what I'm saying? Now, friends, this that I'm telling you is real. It's real. Now, let us hit this realm out here of demon power. Now, this here is the receptacle of the unjust souls. The remaining there in torments, in fears, in screamings, in thirst, and in hunger, in disappointments, in regrets, in darkness, in torments of devils coming out of the soul in and out, without a hope. Kings and monarchs, multitudes in the valley of decision, and they don't know when the judgment is going to be set. And even when the judgment is set, they are conscious that they are lost. Who wants to enter into such a place? Not me. If you are brave enough, I have already preached a message several years ago, how to be lost and go to hell. Find that message and listen to it. It will tell you how to be lost and go to hell. Now, brethren, that is one realm of the souls of unjust men. Now, the next realm deals with demons and these devils, fallen angels. No matter how you want to call them, they were fallen angels that was cast down upon the earth in the war in heaven, 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. Now they are inside of this great sphere. There are millions and millions of them. Now they are commissioned by Satan. They are principalities. They are powers. They are rulers of the darkness of this world. The darkness of this world is evil, wickedness, immorality, sins of all kinds. Friends, they are the rulers of the darkness of this world.
They are set there by Satan to govern and to rule over sin and wickedness. They are also commissioned with the job of deceiving souls, turning them against the word, making them forget the damnations of hell. Yes. They are commissioned by Satan to anoint these mortals on earth, eventually possess them if they can, take away the word from their minds until they overcome them and conquer their souls. Yes, and bring them to the regions of the lost, where these unjust souls are there since Genesis. That's their job. That's their commission. Out of that realm, these spirits are trying to influence mortals of any kind. Small, big, rich, poor, pretty, ugly. They are interested in the soul. To bring them into this receptacle with the unjust souls. They have methods of doing it. Yes. In that place of demon power, you have lying spirits. You have spirits of deception, interpretation, immoral spirits, lying spirits. Spirits, my brother, to suit everything upon earth. Yes. Now that realm out there blends in with the evil nature that Satan caused man to inherit from Genesis. And the bait upon this natural world is summed up in three words. And they use that bait to entice mortals. And that is, love not the world, neither the things of the world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This is not of the Father, but of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. 1 John, 2nd chapter, about a 16, 17 verse. 15 to 17 to be exact. Now you see how it works? I'm going to close just now, brethren, but I don't want you to forget this. I'm trying to preach three or four messages just in one to enlighten you. Now notice the setting here now. In the spiritual world, here we have the souls of unjust men. Here, friends, over here we have a realm of demon power. In the next realm, here we have Satan himself passing on instructions. Alright, now out of this realm of demon power, these principalities and powers, according to Ephesians 6, these great fallen angels, these great minds, these deceptive spirits, they are commissioned to influence the minds of mortals upon the face of the earth. To bring them to the place of the lost. They are commissioned to do that. They must report back to hell, to Satan, and say how many souls that they conquered in a year. How many they conquered. How many children, how many Christians they caused to backslide.
He said, ah, it's hard to comprehend, Brother Bruce. Hard to comprehend after sitting and hearing the word of God. There was a great council in heaven one time in the days of Ahab the king. Yes, and the Bible said, train which is angels filled the temple. And the Lord called a council and he made a great announcement. He said, who will go and cause Ahab to fall? And all them righteous angels, they never put up their hand. But one fellow way down in the back, he said, I will go and cause Ahab to fall. He said, how you'll do that? Summon that fellow from the back, let him come up here in front. What is your plan? He said, I'm a lying spirit. You see, they have to be commissioned by God. Satan could not touch Job until God commanded him to do it. For although they belong into that realm of the devil and they get orders from Satan, they must also have the commission from God. Because he has a hold on man. So this fellow says, I'm a lying spirit. And whatever do I will go and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. I'm going to prophesy a lie to tell them that they will win the battle. But you have already said that they would lose the battle. The Lord turned around. He said, go and prosper. He said, go and prosper. You will succeed with that plan because you are a lying spirit. Yes, go and prosper. So, from the heavenly realm, my brothers and sisters, angelic realm, God anointed Micaiah. He was in contact with the heavenly realm, the Holy Spirit and the angels. So the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters, anointed Micaiah. He said, thus said the Lord, you shall fall in the battle. Yes, my God. They slap him in his mouth and put him in jail. He said, one false prophet asked him, he said, from whence the Spirit of God left me to speak to thee? He said, you will find out. When they have you in jail, you will find out. Yes, beat that fellow up with the Spirit of God. And then this false prophet come out with two horns, my brothers and sisters. And he's demonstrating, my brother, with these horns you should push back the Syrians. Yeah, you know who was speaking there? The lion spirit. Possess this fellow. And possess this heretic. Like Dan. And like Vin. And like Santiago. These men, my brother, are motivated from the realms of demon power. That is where they're getting their inspiration from. But we are getting our inspiration from the Holy Ghost. From the angels of the Lord. Every man that said that there is no more outpouring coming, my brother, there is a lying spirit in his mouth. Any man that said the seven thunders are revealed, a lying spirit in his mouth. Anybody that said that the trumpets are revealed, a lying spirit in their mouth. There are a lot of lying devils on the altar here today. We're going to close just now. But brothers and sisters, the lying spirit went upon the headman. Yes, jump upon him and prophesy that you're going to win the battle. Yeah, 400 of them he has to visit. When he finished here, he jumped in this fella and prophesied. Jump in this fella. 100, my brother. 200, 300, 400, 399. And the last fella said, thus saith the Lord. Thunders are revealed. Trumpets are revealed. Thus said the Lord, God is a servant of God. Yeah. Thus said the Lord, Vindian is a servant of God. Thus said the Lord, Dr. Frank is a servant of God. And now Dr. Santiago is a servant of God. You will win the battle. Yeah. King Ahab, brothers and sisters, look around. He said, you mean to say, Mr. Micaiah, that 400 prophets here, Israelitish prophet with the gifts of God in them. You want to tell me that they all saying the same thing and you could be right and all of them is wrong? That is what we are telling them.
We are right and everybody is wrong. We are saying, my brother, there is going to be another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We are saying that the tongues are not yet revealed. And we are speaking for the Spirit of God. And the 400 false prophets around the world today are all lying prophets.
Oh, yes, sir. Now that is in your Bible, friend. 1 Kings 22, I believe. And now, just as certain as those spirits were loosed there to deceive Ahab in the time of Elijah, is the same way that these lying spirits are loose from the realm of the devil to deceive the people, to take them into the world council of churches. And they are also loosed among the people that follow this message. There we are. It's a terrible thing. We're going to close just now. Can't finish this. Sometime later next year I might finish. I don't know when I'm preaching again. I'm cleaning up the yard around the church. Yes. My beloved, it's a terrible thing. So there are demons that slips out of this realm here to come and anoint man. What will put you in that? What will put me in that realm, Brother Bruce? Unbelief. Sinner. The wrong attitude. The wrong attitude will put you into that realm. You say, but I'm a Christian. Let me explain this before we close. Friends, you could be a Christian and you agree with the word of God. And then for some reason, personal or otherwise, you start disagreeing with the word of God. You disagree with the policies that are set to govern you. You start disagreeing with that man of God. And you think that you get big enough to say what is right and what is wrong. Far as the world is concerned. And as you start meditating upon that, little do you know that there is a demon that's come right out of that dimension. A black spirit hovering over you. You would lose the Spirit of God first thing, because you yielded to the spirit of that dimension. And you know what will happen? Your thoughts, your attitude, the wrong words, yes, your disagreement will start growing. Yes, let the musicians come. It will start growing. And you will think that you are getting smarter. And different kinds of thoughts will start coming through the mind. I have wasted enough time in this church. This church kept me down for all this time. I could have been a rich man. I could have been an educated man. I could have been this and I could have been that. It's a demon that slipped out of that realm and is anointing you. Yes, friend. You are heading for possession. Anytime you start agreeing with anything that is contrary to the word of God, you are being influenced from that realm. Amen. Be it from a father, mother, brother, sister, uncle, aunt, pastor, heretic, whoever he is. That's a demon inside your prayer closet. It's a demon inside of your house. It's a demon hovering over your head. It's a demon talking to you right in the church. But I just don't like the way how he handled my wife. But you agreed with that 5 years ago. I just don't agree the way how he handled me the other day. I just don't agree with the way that he speaks. Tell God that. He made them out.
You know what happened to you? You are being anointed from that realm. When you start disagreeing with the policies, when you have to say what you disagree with, and who he should not put out, and who he should put out. Oh, yes. And when you do something wrong, and something come and tell you, you cannot say that, you just cannot say that, you have to make an excuse. With that same lying spirit, from that realm jump upon you, and you will lie for God and man. Friends, you start leaning towards that spiritual world. You start leaning to those realms. You start losing your interest for church. The Bible, the Word, the text. You start getting cold and lukewarm. You are being influenced from that satanic realm. You say, I feel that that is happening to me, Brother Bruce, because I went after money. I had a greater love for the Lord, but I noticed that I really slack off. Brethren, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, yes, and the lust of the eyes, which is covetousness for the material things of this life. That is what is happening to you. You say, what do I do for that? Quickly repent. Repentance will bring you straight out of that realm and put you back into the realm of God. The same that it done for the fellow that was rowing the boat, the same that it done for Krishna, the same that it done for our little sister Jezebel here, and the same that it done for William Branham when he was cast into hell. It is so easy to come out of that realm. All that you have to do is to repent. Change your mind. They say, I'm in a backslidden condition. What to do? Change your mind. Change your mind, brethren. Change your mind. Let us sing a song.
The cross upon which Jesus died, it's a shelter. Is a shelter in which we can hide. And in